Hello and welcome. This is Andrea Boring, your host of Catholic Women Create, a weekly podcast featuring some insanely talented Catholic women who are creating gorgeous goods and sharing essential products and services designed to enhance your faith, your family, your home, or your business. And welcome to episode 5 of Catholic Women Create. This is your host, Andrea Boring. And wow, we have made it well over a month into this little endeavor, this little podcast that could, the one in which the Lord very clearly paved the way very easily, I might add, to enable it to happen. So it is always my pleasure to come and speak to you weekly from my home office. And actually, it's not my home office. I shouldn't really say that. Because I have a gaggle of children, I sneak away 2 days a week to usually one day a week to my mom's house. And that's where I record interviews and record the monologues. Because even if I were home, and even if it seemed like it was going to be quiet, inevitably within probably 2.5 minutes of pushing the record button, I would have a 2.5-year-old banging angrily on the door, insisting upon entrance into my bedroom. So that is where I am. I come to my mom's house weekly, which is lovely. She takes excellent care of me, and my dad has a nice little office upstairs in the corner of the house where I can have some nice quiet time to talk with you all, and then usually get some work done afterwards. So that is today. It is a beautiful sunny day here in Phoenix, and I would never leave here, no matter how hot it gets in the summer, which it gets hot. These winters make it all worth it. The winters where I can just get my work done in the morning and then around 10:30, 11 o'clock, load up the kids and go to a park. Once the littlest babies become mobile, it'll be interesting. I'll probably have to get some help me chase around a couple of one-year-olds that are wandering around a park, but it's just so beautiful here in Phoenix in the winter, and I'm so lucky to be here. And to be honest, this business, this podcast, everything probably would not have happened had we not moved here to Phoenix. But that's the story for another day. Today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about taking the first step. And there are so many times on different Facebook groups and on different forums that I see women who are looking to make money from home, looking to generate some sort of revenue for their family, whether that be to help with the monthly bills, whether that be just to provide herself with a little bit of play money for some LuLaRoe leggings or some Amazon Prime shopping. That is certainly not me. I don't know why anybody would think that. Or whether it be to save up for a vacation. You know, I see it all the time. Hey, does anybody know what I can do for my home to make money for my family? And usually there's a variety of responses. There's always some folks who offer to help these ladies get set up with different network marketing companies, which are fantastic. It's a great business model. And there are so many fantastic products offered out there by those in the network marketing profession. And by network marketing, I mean businesses like Essential Oils, Young Living is a big one, or Wild Tree. I've actually dabbled in that for a little while. You know, different. Isagenix is another one that I enjoy. I enjoy their shakes. So it's definitely can be a very viable and profitable business model. But generally in these conversations, I ask these women what they like to do or what they did perhaps before staying home with their children. What was their job? And I asked that for a number of reasons. And I am fully convinced that any woman, regardless of education level, regardless of experience, every woman has the ability within her to find something she loves to do and sell it. And there's nothing wrong with that. One of the things that I always recommend women do when discerning whether or not they should start a business is exactly that. It's discerning. So sit down with the Lord, preferably in adoration. That's always a nice time. And ask him. Ask him what you should do. And for some people, that answer very well might be go get a job at Starbucks, you know, in the mornings. Or it could be go back to your previous career. That's what you're supposed to do right now. And there's any number of answers. But if you have a passion for something, for creating something, for making something, for doing something, there's no reason why you cannot make a living from your home doing that particular thing. So step one, if you discern that this is indeed the step that you want to take and that you do want to start your own business, step one is simple. It's don't get stuck on the little stuff and take a leap. And today's actually going to be the first in kind of my little series I want weekly as we move through this winter season and finish up Advent. And that's, you know, how exactly do you start a business? And it's kind of hard to talk about over a podcast. And perhaps I'll start blogging about this on CatholicWomenCreate.com too, or maybe even our website, design business website. But step one is really simple, and that is don't get stuck on the little stuff. If you have an idea, don't get stuck on a website. Don't get stuck on how you're going to promote it. Just start making notes, start jotting things down, start making a to-do list. And then you will realize how freeing it is. So take the no out of your vocabulary. Take those fears of failure and sometimes fear of success. Take all of that out of your mind. Give it up to God and just go. Start with a list. Make a list of everything you think you need to do to start your own business. And if you're like me, you start with a list with something you've already done so you could cross it off. And that way you feel really good about yourself. It's kind of like your household chores. You know, it's like sweep the floor. Oh, wait, I already did that. But I needed to remember to do that. So I'm going to go ahead and write that on my list and cross it off. Makes you feel so, so good inside. Am I not? Am I right? So step one is don't get stuck on the little stuff and make your list. Make a list. Just brain dump. Just go and just make a list of everything that you can think of to start your business. And it might seem like a lot and it might seem overwhelming, but what you're going to do is after you get that list is you're going to break it into manageable chunks. Okay? So step one is make your list and break it down into manageable chunks. So what I'm talking about here is you make your list. So you've got name my business. What am I going to sell? Should I become an LLC? What about a website? What about a blog? You know, all those things. So first, if that were the list, what I would do first is I would figure out exactly what you're going to sell. And is it going to be a product or a service? And then if it's going to be a product, you know, make your product list. So you start in small, manageable chunks and just go through it slowly and methodically. It doesn't have to be done super fast. And that's pretty much what I want you to do. If you have a business idea, is to not get stuck on the little stuff, make your list and break it into manageable chunks. And in that same vein, coming up next is the lovely Kristen Sanders from This Inspired Life Co. I've had the honor and privilege of knowing her for quite some time. I think you're going to be really inspired by what she has to say, and also by how she started her business and how she took something she enjoyed as a hobby and turned it into a revenue generating idea. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Talking with Kristen Sanders, the amazingly talented woman behind Inspired Life Co. Welcome, Kristen.
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here today. I am so excited you're here because you are actually one of the people that put a podcast bug in my ear.
Oh, my.
From about whenever we had our interview, Kristen interviewed me about almost a year and a half ago, I guess. Maybe, give or take.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went to a conference with her, and she was a speaker, and she talked all about podcasting and starting a podcast, and it was all in my brain for the longest time. And so as soon as I decided to start Catholic Women Create, I knew you were one of the people I wanted to get on the phone. So yay!
Oh. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, once you get that idea in, you just can't get out. You have to give it a try. So I'm so glad that you did. That's so fun.
It is fun. It's crazy. Life is crazy. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Kristen actually lives here in Phoenix with me, and it's kind of sad because even though we live in the same town, I don't think that I've ever seen her actually in Phoenix. Isn't that
crazy? I know.
Crazy?
Yeah, we just live on opposite ends.
And you might as well live in like a different country when you live on, one of us lives on the east side and one of us lives on the west side. I mean, really.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's get started. I want to learn all about you. Can you tell us and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I grew up in a really, really tiny town in South Dakota called Platte, and that's where my family still is. Most everyone is around that area. And yeah, I grew up there, grew up Catholic, loved, you know, being in the small town, but kind of had the bug, if you will, to leave. And when I graduated high school and I knew I wanted to kind of get out and explore the world, so I decided to go to Franciscan University of Steubenville out in Ohio. And I loved school out there. It was so amazing. I studied theology and psychology. And yeah, I still look on that time as one of the most amazing and life impacting times of my life. And yeah, now I live in Phoenix. I came to Phoenix right after I graduated college. I came to do a year of service with Maggie's Place, a nonprofit here that helps homeless pregnant women. They provide homes for them, and they have a couple other homes around the country as well. But I lived in the home with the women and did that for actually 1 year, turned into two, and then after two years, I kind of got hired on in a real full-time position and stayed there for 4 years. I met my husband out here in Phoenix. He's from Georgia originally and came out here for work, and we both met, and we got married and have two little girls. Dakota is one, and Mia is three. So, yeah, we're just building a little family out here.
Oh, that's so awesome. And I love Maggie's Place and the principles behind it. They just opened one at my kid's school this last year.
Yeah, right over in Mesa?
Yeah, Christ the King.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's always, and whenever I interact on any kind of Facebook groups or anything like that, I always mention it, you know, local garage sale groups and things like that, you know, the ones where people are always looking for things. You know, there are a lot of times there are women on there who are in tough situations, and Maggie's Place is always the first place I tell them to go. So it's such a wonderful, wonderful organization.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so tell us a little bit more about your faith. Have you always been you know, you got your degree in theology, for crying out loud. That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Right. What about any other pivotal points? Like, why did you decide to go to Franciscan?
Well, actually, my freshman year in college, I actually went to a small liberal arts school in South Dakota called Augustana College. And it was a small little, I mean, not tiny, but it was a little Lutheran college there. And so I knew when I graduated high school that I wanted to get out, and then I kind of got a little afraid. So I just went a little further away from my hometown and then kind of got confirmation shortly after that, that I wanted to go even further out and kind of go and explore and do something kind of big and what felt big at the moment, you know? And so I just, faith was kind of a big part of my life growing up, you know, here and there as a young kid and teenager. I was kind of always into my faith, tried to be good and learn about my faith. And I mean, I really just attribute that to my family. I have a really great family who is really knowledgeable and passionate about our faith growing up, and just did a really great job instilling that in me. And I'm sure, I guess, the Holy Spirit and anyone, you know, praying for me from heaven was probably on my side, I guess, as well, really just blessing me. And I have a couple great aunts who are nuns who I sometimes think maybe that's why I love my faith so much, because they are praying for my family so much. Or my mom and dad actually lost one of their children, my sister, when I was just 1.5. You know, she was born with a spinal defect, I think, or a neural defect, and died at 6 months of age. And sometimes I think too, you know, she's my saint up in heaven that probably cares about me the most up there as a sister, and probably has been praying for me and my family as well. So I just think there's just been a lot of graces in my family. And I feel that now more as an adult, kind of looking back on just the decisions I've made in my life. And I'm just really grateful for prayers and the people in my life. So anyway, at Augustana, I just knew even after the first couple of weeks that something wasn't right, that I didn't have peace. And I'd actually prayed my senior year of high school. I prayed that whatever decision I made for college, that if it wasn't the right spot, that I would take the leap and go someplace else. And I just prayed to God that I wouldn't have peace if that's what he wanted me to do. And I kind of forgot about that prayer actually until about 2 or 3 weeks into college, my freshman year, and I just felt off and it just wasn't right. And I was just like, you know, I like it here. I like my roommate. I like my classes, but something just doesn't feel right. And then I opened up a book that happened to remind me of this prayer that I had prayed. And it was just like immediately I knew. I was just thinking, oh my gosh, this is the answer to my prayer. I don't have peace and I need to look into going to Franciscan, which I had thought about going to. I don't even remember where. I think I met someone that had been there that had really inspired me, a youth minister along the way, and thought, you know, that sounds like a really cool place, a place where people are really excited about their faith, and they have really powerful professors there who are really smart and know their faith really well. And so I just kind of knew right into my freshman year that something was off, and that was what I asked God to do for me if I needed to think about transferring. And I knew by that January, you know, right at the end of the semester, that I was going to transfer, and I was so excited. And it was one of the coolest decisions I'd ever made. It was just amazing.
What did your family think? That's a far way. That was far.
Oh yeah, they're very supportive, but not, you know, excited. I think that's the combination of, oh my gosh, she's gonna do this amazing thing and leave us basically, you know. And that was very sad. But they it's hard to say no to a kid who wants to go to like the most Catholic university in America, right? So I at least had that on my side. It wasn't like I want to go to Florida because of the ocean or the palm trees, you know. It was you know, hopefully good intentioned and hopefully with a lot of positivity and strong community around, which there is there at school. So yeah, they were, you know, that mixed bag that I think all parents experience with any decision their kids make, you know, it's like, oh, that's great. And, you know, just hard.
It's so interesting because I grew up in Ohio and Columbus and Cincinnati. I ended up graduating from high school in Columbus, but you know, the Lord takes us all on a journey, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be here today if even one thing would have changed in my journey. And,
right.
But it's, I never even heard of Franciscan University. And, you know, and it was only a few hours drive from where we lived. And, oh man, I ended up at law school at University of Dayton, which of course is a Catholic Marianist institution, but I wasn't Catholic, a practicing Catholic at the time, so I didn't really fully appreciate where I was or, you know, the whole theology behind the Marianist, whatever you, what is that called? So you've got Marianists and what's it called?
An order.
Order, yes. Yep. There you go. So anyhow, it's always, I just think of, every time I hear Franciscan University in Steubenville, I'm just like, oh my gosh, it was so close.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Close. But that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Not everyone is supposed to go there, or we're all supposed to take our own journey.
Yeah, that's for sure. So you have a business, and we're going to go ahead and transition into that. Thanks. And so tell us about it. Tell us about this Inspired Life Co.
Yeah, well, you started off talking about my podcast. So it kind of came about through the podcast in a weird way. excuse me. Sorry. So in interviewing really amazing people on my podcast, I was always the most drawn to people who had their own business. I was always probably the most excited to talk to them, just in maybe just more fun or exciting to think about, kind of a business that, you can do at home that is just so, I don't know, using your own creativity and being able to do it from home. I was always so drawn to that. I kind of have an entrepreneurial spirit as well. I get from my dad, I think. And so I'm always thinking about business ideas or marketing or ways to connect people or build community or something. And Maggie's Place even really helped me with that too. I feel like working for a nonprofit, you have to wear every hat imaginable, and that kind of, you have to think of it as a business also. And how do we bring people in and make money and attract, you know, the right people and sell this idea and all these things. So I really loved that part of my job at Maggie's Place. And so when I decided to stay home full time with my little girls, I just kind of had that bug in me still. And so I started the podcast not knowing, you know, where it would take me, but loved talking to these people. And then even through the podcast, realizing I really love the people who are doing something creative at home and being able to make even just a little bit of money, pocket money, even just to kind of help, you know, buy the supplies to be creative. And I have this huge craft section in my tiny little house that my husband, when we got married, I'm sure he's like, why do we have all these craft supplies and we have this tiny house? What is she doing? And little did he know how much I need that in my life. I'm creative. Like, I have just, you know, boxes of yarn, boxes of fabric, boxes of paper and pens and all these different things. A hot glue gun is always out and all these things. So, and I can't even really say that I'm, you know, exceptionally good at it. I just get a lot of joy from it and making my own things and in a way saving money in that way. I like to do things myself. I'm a big DIY enthusiast. And so I decided to open up a shop just kind of using my own creativity and in kind of hand lettering and calligraphy and trying out some watercolor. I learned some of those things in high school and college. Actually, I took a lot of art classes in high school and my freshman year in college, and just really, really love creating art and making things beautiful for my home and family. And so that's kind of what first inspired all of that. So I love to just make things that I want in my own home that kind of inspire me or make me think or bring some positivity and beauty. And I think a lot about what my what messages I want my daughters to see every day and what kind of truths I want them to kind of absorb. And so that kind of inspires me a lot too. What will I want them to see on a regular basis, or what inspires me to be a better person or joy filled or closer to God, all those things. So I like to make things like that for myself. So I hope other people can find joy in it as well.
And it's so, I have a question. I'm going to show my ignorance here as far as hand lettering is concerned.
Sure.
I had one guest, she was one of my first, and she does some hand lettering on her tablet. Mm-hmm. So my question for you is your hand lettering done like with paper and paint? Like, how do you do it? I'm just curious because I'm ignorant on this. So please tell me how this all happens.
No, well, for some people, they can do it on a tablet, which is super cool. I would love to get that someday, and that would be really fun. But I do my method is to go straight pencil to paper first, and to draw it out on a piece of paper, bring ink into it, and then if watercolor is going to be involved, you know, watercolor some things, get to painting, and then I scan it in on my scanner at home and sync it up to my computer, and then finish it up in Photoshop and Illustrator. So that's my method.
Oh wow, that's fascinating.
It's
so everything, and I shouldn't be that fascinated, right? Because I'm a freaking web designer and graphic designer, but all of these things are just so amazing, and we all have our own sets of tools we use. For example, I still use Photoshop Elements from version 10 from the year 2011 because I haven't taken the time to learn how to use regular Photoshop yet.
But no, I'm still learning. I am not an expert by any means. And I would love, like I said, I would love to do the tablet version because I think that takes out that whole first process of drawing it out on paper and then scanning it in. It's just kind of immediately on there. I think that's really cool.
It was fascinating for sure.
Yeah.
So when you do your, so talk me through the process again. You hand draw it out and then you scan it in and then you digitize it.
Yeah.
And then it can be mass produced, right?
Yes.
Is that the whole idea behind this?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Cool. So do you ever do, because that's another thing that always blew my mind again, and I didn't do too much research on this because I wanted to learn from the person who did it, you know, from people who are experts. In my mind, I'm just like envisioning, I'm envisioning someone like seriously like hand painting like 35, you know, invitations or something. I'm so silly. I can't believe I just admitted that.
No, but that's fine. I'm sure some people might do that if, you know, someone would pay them enough for that. A part of my idea in being kind of an entrepreneur, at least in my own head, and thinking, you know, what kind of business do I want? And I thought about sewing things. I thought about learning, and I'm not even a great sewer, but I thought, you know, I could learn this. I could learn this. You know, I mean, even in hand lettering and calligraphy, I'm still constantly learning and growing too. But just, you know, in the whole plethora of ideas there are for people who kind of have this creative bug in them. And so I went with this idea, hand lettering and calligraphy and prints and things, so that it could be a little bit more of a passive form of income once I'm already done that, you know, once I have 10 prints up and I've already done all the work, then I could sell 1,000 of them if I want, or I could sell 10 of them, you know, it doesn't matter. But so there's definitely a time. I'm not exactly trading money for time in that regard.
Sure.
I'm more doing something once and then, hopefully selling them multiple times without having to go back and do the work again. So, yeah, that's why I chose that also.
Yeah, and it's awesome. And it just gives you so much creative freedom, too, and not feel like you're stuck in a box.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is so important for all of us artistic types.
Yeah, it's fun.
So what inspires new products for you?
You know, like I said, I think about what I want in my own home and what kind of messages I want. I try to think about inspiring things like the saints and what they've said, and or quotes from the Bible, or holidays that are coming up. I just put a couple of Thanksgiving themed prints up in the shop.
And I saw that. So
yeah,
cute.
Just like, yeah, being grateful or whatever. And just so things like that, to kind of go with the whole seasons of our lives. And I would love to even do more with liturgical seasons. I'm still learning how to live really in the deepest, you know, liturgical season.
You and I both, sister.
Yeah, there's so much, there's so many options and so much to do. And mm-hmm. I wasn't, even though we grew up really, really, you know, faithfully Catholic, we weren't as into the liturgical seasons, at least the ones that go throughout the year. Of course, we celebrated Advent and Lent and things like that, but the feast days and things throughout the year we weren't as into. Of course, it's a lot of work, especially as parents, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of things to think about when we raise our kids and what we want to pass on to them. So I'm trying to learn a little bit more about just incorporating a little bit more into my life, more than I've done in the past, and so thinking through those things as well. Yeah, it's been really fun.
I love your Our Lady of Guadalupe abstract.
Oh, thank you.
It's so simple and
yeah.
Like, you know exactly what it is, but it doesn't have, you know, it's just the simplicity itself is just stunning. That is
thank
gorgeous.
You. Yeah, and that's the kind of, I think that's the kind of art I've learned. I mean, I've also learned that the more you do things, if people are trying to figure out what's my style or what am I good at, I feel like the more you do things, the more you'll learn what your style is. But with watercolor, I really love more abstract, intricate details are so beautiful mm-hmm. to me too, and I love drawing those, but with watercolor and certain things I love to just be more general and mm-hmm. to kind of back up and take it more in a simple way. So I'm glad you like it. Thank you so much.
I love it. It's so pretty. And again, it's just so, and I'm even though I've been back to the church for 5 years, I'm still learning so much about, you know, especially the different apparitions of Our Lady and what they all mean and the significance of all of them. And, you know, with Fatima, the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima was just, I don't know, last month, and learning about more about that. And that blew my mind. I couldn't believe, the miracle of the sun and things of that nature. And then Our Lady of Guadalupe, it's just learning more about those things, you know, so I can kind of, you know, obviously teach my kids about those.
Yeah, you know, that's so funny you said that. I just, you know, in growing up, I hear these things, or you hear, there's so much that, you know, the church is so rich in its history and the miracles and all of these things that have happened. And so I've always kind of known about the miracle of the sun and the apparition, but I went back on that feast day and just like really like went on YouTube and I was like, teach me about this again. Start from zero. What happened? What was said? What? And just watching, looking at the photos of it and everything, it was, not to go off on a random tangent, yeah, but I still learn things too as a cradle Catholic of, oh my gosh, that was amazing.
Like, I don't know how anybody could ever doubt that, how anybody could ever doubt God or the Catholic faith or Mary or anything when something like that happens. Like, I just, the sheer number of people that witness this. I mean, it's yeah. like, how? But yeah, that's neither here nor there. We'll let the Holy Spirit. We'll let the Holy Spirit work his magic on the hearts of those folks that doubt, right? Okay, so what would you say? How long have you been in business now with doing the hand lettering?
About a year. I've sold some things in my shop about 2 years ago, but they weren't my own artwork. They were someone else's that I added, is an advent calendar. So I don't know if I would count that. That I took a break maybe, and then I came back a year ago to do my own artwork.
And what is your most favorite part of your business? It could be anything.
I love the combination of it all. I love that in any day I could sit down and work on marketing or photography or putting up things in my shop or fulfilling orders or the artwork itself or learning more about Photoshop and Illustrator. And I just love how having your own business is so multifaceted, and I love it requires a lot of things from you, a lot of different strengths. And so I love the challenge of that, of putting it all together in this one big idea. So I think that is fun because I really, really enjoyed the business side of things as well and thinking through it all. I don't always execute perfectly. Mm-hmm. I wish I, you know, posted on Instagram more. I wish my photography was better, or I wish I had more products in the shop, or, you know, so many things. But it's so much fun to put an idea out there and see how people respond and to add joy or beauty to their lives and to impact people in that way. I love when I can find something on Etsy that somebody has made and I think, oh my goodness, that's perfect for my home. I love it. I want to see it every day, or I want my kids to play with it, or I want to use it. And so kind of just connecting with people in that way and adding value to their lives, adding beauty and things like that to their life. So it's fun.
Beauty is one of the themes for Catholic Women Create. I decided last week when I kept all of these quotes kept speaking to me, all of these saint quotes and Bible verses about beauty. And that's, you know, really what I hope to do is basically your whole, you know, inspire. I want to inspire women with beautiful things and even services that are beautiful. I mean,
absolutely.
Everything that we as women can do. And it doesn't necessarily have to be artisans, you know. We all need a realtor. We all need a mortgage broker, mm-hmm. you know. And that person's soul is beautiful. And so not just the beautiful goods, the beautiful products, but the beauty within people. Because everyone is, you know, all of us as business owners, we're serving someone with what we do. And just kind of keeping that in mind. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
So what would you say would be your... You know, one of the most challenging parts of the business, I know mine is actually, I come up with too many ideas, and so I overwhelm myself, and then nothing gets done. So execution is probably one of my biggest challenges. What would you say yours would be?
That's a really good answer. I'm going to have to steal that a little bit.
Oh, no.
I definitely have way too many ideas, and it definitely... hinders me. I think I get off on this one idea over here, or I think just the whims of what I feel like doing sometimes, even though I just got done saying how great it is to be able to work on any part of the business any day. I can get all into, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this painting really fast, and I'm going to go to the table and paint it up, and then you know, the paint brushes sit there for 2 days, and my husband's like, oh my gosh, Kristen, can you just finish one part of the project and then put everything away and then move on to the next step and to the next step? So I'm kind of all over the board as far as following my whims for the day. So, I'm not as disciplined, in
Ooh,
that.
Yeah, that's the word. There you go.
Yeah. Or if one day I don't feel like doing anything, really, if this is a real business, I should sit down and do it anyway, in a way, you know? I mean, it is nice that I, you know, not to take it too seriously and to be too upset about if I didn't get anything done today for my business or something, but I could let months go by, you know, if I just waited for inspiration to strike. Sometimes you have to sit down and just work and do it and see what happens. I can't even remember the quote, but the idea of that creativity comes in the work, not, you know, don't sit down and try to be creative and just when you feel creative. Like, your creativity will come even in moments that you don't feel creative. You have to just get down and do it. So try to remind myself of that and stick to more of a disciplined schedule maybe of things. But it's going fine right now. I'm so happy with where it's at right now.
So you mentioned the schedule. How do you work? What does your schedule look like on a weekly basis, you know, with two little ones at home and a home to maintain and things of that nature?
Yeah. So my husband works, he goes into work kind of later in the morning and gets to spend more time with us and with the girls in the morning. So sometimes I, at least once, if not twice or three times a week, I'll try to sneak out of the house and do some work at a coffee shop or something that's on the computer anyway, some editing photos or putting up things on the Etsy shop, you know, editing listings or thinking through things, making plans. So I'll try to sneak out sometimes in the morning, a couple times a week while he's home. And then I'm lucky enough that I still have a long nap time, which is this moment right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm very big on nap time. And so nap time, I always try to do at least one thing for the business and try to think about what's that one thing that I need to do today, even if it's just something really small, and thinking through, you know, what Instagram post am I going to put up this week, or what one listing do I need to kind of look over and edit again, or kind of little things like that even. So nap time is usually about 2 hours in the afternoon, give or take. So that gives me a big chunk of time. I also try to keep the house clean during that time as well. So it's definitely a balance. I don't think my house is swept as much as I would like it to be, but that's okay. And then when the girls are up, I usually don't have a lot that I can give to the business. Sometimes I can, depending on what they're doing or if they're needier that day, I have to focus more on them. So I try not to have any goals outside of just the one nap time, or the morning session if I go out, not to have expectations. So that I've learned the hard way that if I have an expectation that I really want to get this project done and I think I can do it while the girls are awake, I'll get impatient with them or really, really, you know, mad or angry that, oh my gosh, can you just go over there while I'm doing this? And I have to remind myself that that's not their problem. That's my problem, that I put on this expectation of getting this thing done that I shouldn't have, because my focus really is for them right now. So try not to do too much while they're awake. And then at night, if I try not to do anything at night either, but sometimes I do if I'm about to release a bunch of products, which I just did. So I did a couple evenings, or I'll sometimes paint in the evening. My husband gets home right at bedtime, so he helps me with bedtime. And then he eats dinner and I've already eaten. So sometimes I'll paint while he's eating at the kitchen table with him, or while he's doing some work on the computer and we're just catching up for the day. We'll hang out and I'll maybe do a couple things. And then I try to just leave it at about 9 o'clock. I try to stop. I've learned that the hard way. Also, if I stay up, I get really excited for things and I get like in this, oh my gosh, and then we'll do this and then I'll do this and then I'm going to quick go paint this. And then, you know, and it's
12 o'clock.
Yeah. And then it's 12 o'clock, or it's even 10:30, which is the time I try to go to bed. And I'm so wired that I'll lay in bed until 11:30 or 12 thinking all those exciting ideas. So, I learned that at 9 o'clock, I have to shut it down. I have to do something else, hang out with my husband. We try to watch a TV show or something at night, and to just kind of lay low or read or do something that doesn't pertain to my business, because I get too ramped up and excited about things. So
I'm the same way. Yeah. My brain just doesn't Never shuts off.
I know. I know. Well, so that's about my schedule.
Oh. Well, what would you say if you could go back to the beginning and change one thing about your business? What would that be?
That's a hard question. Yeah, I think I don't know what I would change it to exactly, but I think the name of my business is sometimes a mouthful or some. I wish I could have thought of some like catchy, you know, something related to the Bible, you know, something that is just kind of catchy and unique. And I just couldn't, and that was one thing that actually hindered me in the beginning from getting started, was that I thought too much about the name and all of this stuff. And so I finally just had to kind of just pick something and go, that I thought, mm-hmm. if I will never think of the perfect thing, no matter how long I think about this, or that it's hindering me from moving to the next step, and it's not the most important thing. It is the name of your business or whatever is important, but it's not ultimately the most important thing. So if it's going to make me not have a business at all, I might as well just pick something and move forward. So yeah, that's probably what I'm not the most excited about my business, but it's just fine.
And I think what you said is so important, and that's just getting started. And don't. There are a lot of people that I've worked with, and you know, I'm sure you've seen it too, where you just get paralyzed by perfection. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good name, paralyzed by perfection. And
hashtag.
Right? I need to make that. Man, I need to buy that domain name. Nobody buy that domain name. I'm going to buy it first. Paralyzed by perfection. Whenever I think of things like that, I always got to write it down, because you never know. But you know, you get paralyzed by having every single little perfect thing in place, and it's okay if it's not. And sometimes you just got to go, and you just got to follow your heart, follow your gut, and trust that everything will fall into place the way that it's supposed to.
Yeah. Right? My husband and I have this kind of phrase that we say to each other when it's applicable. He read it in a book recently. I can't remember if it was Shoe Dog or another book about business that he was reading, that the author said that sometimes you just have to ship it. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you just have to finish it up, put it in a box and ship it and just be done. And so that's kind of what we say to each other sometimes when we're kind of encouraging each other in that, like, don't sit there and just, you know, hem and haw over the details. If you need to get it done, just get it done. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just ship it. So that's what we say to each other.
I love that. That is awesome. Just ship it. What would you say? What are some of your best marketing strategies right now? Where do you get all your people?
Oh my gosh. I don't have any best marketing strategies. I am the wrong person to talk to you about this. I feel like I get a lot of ideas from other people that are way ahead of the game than me. I try to follow people online on Instagram that are successful and that are building a good following and community. And I just try to see and analyze what they do. How often do they post? What do they post about? What are their, you know, how often do they post a product photo versus a personal photo? What does... you know, what do they do? And not that we need to copy people in that regard, but I think we get a lot of ideas from that. So I get a lot of ideas from other people, and not even people that are doing the exact same business as me, but other people who have another type of business that, I can kind of look at as community builders and things like that. So, but most of my, people, I think I just get a lot of random Etsy buyers, I think, at least what it seems like. And I like building community on Instagram. I love Instagram for that platform of, kind of beauty, as you said. And I think there's a little bit of humor in it as well. The photos don't always have to be beautiful and perfect, but I think even capturing moments and capturing kind of the essence of the moment of, mm-hmm. you know, looking at your kids, you know, being funny or, you know, even just dress up for Halloween or whatever, that there's just beauty in those little moments that I think Instagram does a great job sharing. And I like that community on there. So that's where I like to be the most.
Okay, so question.
Yeah.
You have two Instagram accounts.
I do.
Okay, so here's my, I struggle with this so hard because I cannot, right now I've got everything under my personal one because I just don't know that I can keep up with another one. What are your thoughts on having two separate ones? Have you seen an increase in traffic? Have you seen a difference? What you got?
I really think it just comes down to preference of what you see your brand being and what other people kind of do that you like about them. There's one person I follow who has a business kind of similar to mine, art prints and such. And she has two, and I really thought about her a lot and thinking, okay, I started off just by following her shop, and then after about 6 months or a year maybe of following her shop, I realized she had a personal account, so I followed her personal account. And I just really liked that distinction for me personally of what I like about Instagram and what I like to follow. And if I ever didn't want to follow her anymore because I didn't care as much, you know, about that, but I still cared about her business or loved her print still or wanted to be up to date about what's new in her shop, I could kind of choose. So I like letting people have the choice about that, but I also think it's totally fine to do both. I like seeing other people's two different shops, and I like two different accounts rather. And I like having two distinctions in my brain. I don't like having twice the amount of posts to put up because I'm not like an everyday poster. I wish I was. I think it's fun to be on there and to post and even just quick little things that don't have to be super thought out or super edited, but just moments. I love to share the moments of my life with my kids, and I have a lot of family not here and not with me that see me every day, so I love sharing it for them as well. But yeah, definitely a little more work. But I like to separate, okay, this is a little more professional maybe and a little more branded, and I want to grow this brand per se, and over here I'm just going to post this funny picture.
Yeah, I'm still toying. I can't decide what to do with Catholic Women Create. I'm torn because a lot of my followers on Instagram are Catholic women. So I'm like, okay, yeah. I've got my market here. And, you know, again, it's just the time and coming up. But, you know, it's tough. So who knows? By the time this show airs, it could be that I've decided to already bite the bullet and start a Catholic Women Create Instagram account. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll have to see.
Or you won't. Or you don't.
Or I won't.
Totally fine either way.
Oh, goodness gracious. So many decisions when starting a business. That's one thing that I've always, even though I've started several businesses and even though I help clients start businesses, that's one of the things I always struggle with is Instagram and whether or not to have one or two accounts.
Yeah.
Oh, well. We'll figure it out, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. All righty. So we're about out of time. So you come bearing gifts for our amazing listeners. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. I thought about maybe giving away a certain print, but then I thought, you know what? Sometimes you just want to pick your own gift, your own prize. So I thought that I would give away a winner's choice free print. Whatever print they want out of my shop, I will ship it to them for free. And going back to the ship it mantra, haha. So, whatever print they want. So I'll just have, however you choose the winner, can email me with their choice and we'll go from there.
Perfect. Now tell us where we can find you.
On Instagram, my shop's account is Inspired Life Co. So just all that together, no dashes or anything. Inspired Life Co. On Etsy, my shop's name is the same, Inspired Life Co. So you can put that in the search. Although sometimes it's hard to find shops that way. I don't know. Etsy isn't the perfect search engine. So you could also do etsy.com/shop/inspiredlifeco. That'll take you right there. Or there's a link straight on my Instagram account. So you can go there as well. So
perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And everyone, you can find that giveaway over at CatholicWomenCreate.com. It'll be under our most recent episode. And we're so grateful for having Kristen here with us today. It has been an absolute pleasure and honor to get to know you a little bit better. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Andrea. I had so much fun. Thanks for letting me get my podcasting equipment out from under my desk again. It's been really fun.
You're going to have to, you'll resurrect that, right?
Oh, I know. I would love to.
All right, sister. Well, you have a great day, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, you too.
If you like what you're hearing, become a friend of the show. Visit redboxmedia.com and click Friend of the Show to provide your support. Thank you.
Thanks again to Kristen Sanders for joining us today on Catholic Women Create. And remember, step one, don't get stuck on the little stuff. Make your list and just start working your way through it. Until next time, this is your host, Andrea Boring, and have a blessed week.